listening to The Care Attack Show. I'm your host, Michael, aka Tech. Welcome. The Care Attack Show is a podcast about fashion, the internet, culture, whatever it is that damn Daniel thing is. It's based out of the Care Attack's forum. That's care-tag.org. We're not experts, just big fans. We haven't had a podcast in a while. That's my bad. Ryan, our producer, amazing producer, and Adam, awesome co-host. We all been busy. That's not a good excuse. We'll try harder. Sorry about that. In the meantime, I was lucky enough to record a special gorilla podcast featuring Bobbin of Story MFG. Bobbin, for all of you longtime listeners, was the first guest we ever had on the show, and it's been nice to close the loop with him, have him on here again, especially now that Story MFG is kind of picking up steam. It's been really awesome to see. Him and his awesome partner, Katie, came to New York City for a trade show called Liberty Fair, along with a few other UK brands. We got to meet up, we laughed, we cried, we recorded a podcast. It was all good times. I want to thank Bob and his partner for being super gracious and just plain amazing people. Listeners, leave us a comment or suggestions on the podcast thread at CareTags. That's care-tags.org. We love hearing from our listeners. Thanks again. We're going to get busy on some more shows. Enjoy this show. So we're here at Liberty Fairs. This is a menswear.
It's menswear. They call it menswear and lifestyle event. But
right.
I think the lifestyle is the like skincare and like beauty stuff, but it is mostly menswear.
Right. So we're at Liberty Fairs in Pier 94 in New York City. I'm here with Bobbin from Story MFG. This is Tech. This is the Care Tags sort of gorilla podcast that we're going to do here.
I prefer these gorilla ones.
Yeah, I like it too. Hopefully the music isn't too loud, but we've been hanging out for the last day or two. Yesterday we got pretty shit-faced, and it was good times. I took Bobbin and his awesome partner, Katie, to this horrible dive bar. It was good times. I hope you
I really liked it.
Oh, good.
I really liked it.
Yeah, that place has a what is called a shot of the day, and we didn't get it yesterday because it would have led to all sorts of disaster. But
I didn't know about it.
Yeah, I think we're already enough on the precipice. So, here we are. You know, this there's so much that's happened with Story MFG in the last year or two, especially with Care. You know, Care Tags really keeps up with it. And the internet really keeps up with it. But, you know, why don't you recap very quickly how you got to where you are right now, what you're doing at this show, what you're hoping to do, you know, yeah. In America.
Well, last time we spoke on the Care Tags podcast, we hadn't actually done it yet. We were just starting to make that first pair of jeans. So we made one pair of jeans and pre-ordered it, and it really went well. And then sort of during that, we did the same with the jacket. Time jacket, and it kind of rolled on from then. We did like pre-orders and all of our products, and as it rolled up, we started getting stores approaching us. And initially, like when stores approached us, it wasn't like a really happy feeling. We were like, oh shit, like we've been found out.
Right.
Like, I felt like our little thing had been rumbled. But it was a good thing. Like it was genuine. Well, we were always worried about, like, hype. Like, I'm terrified of hype. I'm terrified of, like, people that go into, like, Dover Street Market, like, first season, and then, like, next season, they're, like, on the bread line, and they're gone, and, like... So, we were worried about that, but the first shop, that took us on was LNCC.
Right.
And they have this kind of, like, push for sustainable brands, and they call it the Conscious Collection.
Right. So they have a whole bunch of different brands who are kind of oriented around
that. Yeah, exactly. And they started that before, and then they found out about us.
Okay.
And then they brought us in, and they really, really helped us. John Skelton, who's the creative director there, previous owner, kind of championed us. And he gave us, like, just so much help, just advice, things we didn't know about. Like, wholesaling is just, like, a mind fuck.
Right.
It's pretty hard. So he helped us, and we were in NSCC for that season, and then we showed a small collection last season, spring summer, called Full English, worldwide, and we got 12 stores, maybe 13 worldwide.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I think like 60% of them in Japan. It seems like nowhere no matter where we go, it's Japanese buyers.
Sure.
And now we are showing the following season called Tulpa Trek, and it's good.
I mean, you showed me the collection earlier, this newest one. Can you tell us a little bit about it? Of course, there's a story behind it, just like all of the other stuff you do, but it's kind of based on a personal thing that you guys did, right?
Yeah. Me and Katie both really, really appreciate when art, like, not just designers, but artists, like, create a concept and, like, really flesh it out. As a quick example, I've got a friend who did some art that was like technical drawings of a ship, but instead of just doing the technical drawings of the ship, he wrote the bios for like all 100 people that live on the ship.
Wow.
And like storylines and everything. He really like populated this world. So
sure.
When we approached Tulpa Trek, which is supposed to be like about casual walkers and hikers, which is something me and Katie do, we walk everywhere. We created this imaginary trek, and we created like a kind of fake brand. A fabric brand called Slow Tech, which is like a performance wear brand, and
it looks like it has like the polar tech to it.
We spent hours and hours and hours going around, like, I don't know if you've got them here, but like outdoors shops that sell like performance outerwear gear and stuff, and like looking at their labels, looking at what kind of details they have and stuff like that, and then we just tried to translate into this imagined world. And as the collection actually releases, gets closer, there'll be more stuff around it. Like, there'll be a Slow Tech website and stuff. Like,
that's cool.
These companies are going to actually manifest.
It's almost like an alternate reality game, but for clothes.
Yeah, exactly. It's a tulpa. It's called Tulpa Trek, and a tulpa is something imagined that you make real by kind of imagining it so hard. Like, if you have an imaginary friend as a kid, and then this imaginary friend actually became physical, that's what a tulpa is. So we call it Tulpa Trek.
Got it. So tell me about some of the pieces. So there's a lot of pieces that have a very specific purpose that you sort of found. Like, there's a jacket that's like for mushroom picking or something like that.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Well, I mean, like, stories are important to us. So the story of the garment is when you have vintage, really like comes through. Like, that's why people collect. Like, not just vintage, anything, like trainers or sneakers and pieces of art. It's always like the provenance and the heritage. So even within a garment, like you said, we've got this forager's vest, which, I mean, by all intents and purposes, it's kind of just like a normal like hunting vest, but they're designed specifically for people who go out mushroom picking,
right?
So the pockets are all different. So we've got, like, that's one, the forager vest. We've got another pair of trousers which are designed for cartographers,
right?
And it's nice because you get these you get details on them that are kind of strange, like you wouldn't admit it, you wouldn't like normally see them. Like, the map pocket is a certain dimension because that's the dimension of the folded up map. And the forager vests have got like pockets that kind of bellow out a little bit because the forage, when people pick mushrooms, they like to they're wet when you pick them, and they want them to dry out, otherwise they crumble. So it's got all these like small details that are really good. We've got like sheriff's jackets too. We've got the prison jacket that most people know, the time jacket.
I want tell me more about that, because that's really an interesting thing to me. I didn't understand at first when you told me the time jacket, but then it's like for like prisoners used to make these jackets.
Prisoners used to make them in prison to wear themselves, so they make their own jacket. And the original time jacket had selvage just every single seam because it meant that they didn't have to finish that seam.
Right.
So it's like something so wasteful now, but it's. But it's just what they did then. So it's something that we kind of kept in. We took selvage out of the sleeves because that would have wasted like another 2 meters.
Right.
But we put it down the opening and around the collar in the same way. And people used to, like I showed you earlier, they used to, when you're in prison, they used to just like cut their jackets up and add things and upgrade them and move them. So this time around, we have a shorter version that's like a folded up time jacket.
I love that. Yeah, you showed me some of that selvaging, and it's funny because now that selvage line is like this kind of, it's become hype too, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Before, prisoners didn't know any of those things, for them it was just like, this is
that's how the fabric comes,
right? Yeah. And it's a practicality man. So you guys originally started with a lot of denim, and we were talking last night about, you know, was there or is there or are we past sort of like this denim boom, this denim bubble?
I don't think denim's ever going to go, because it's just like, gosh, it's like like a genus. It's like the fungus family. It's
right.
just enormous.
Right.
I think the style is changing. I think that there was this heritage boom that we both talked about last night. And I think the guy that was heritage, like, there's a lot of people that stay within it. But, I mean, it's quite a stale thing just to be keep wearing repro. So I feel like the guys that... Especially guys that weren't really into fashion, and then they found like a natural home in like heritage wear.
Sure.
Now, what's the move on from that? And the move on from that is like a bit more directional. So
right.
that's always kind of what we've run. We're never going to be for the heritage customer.
Got
we're
it.
Always going to be for like more fashion forward,
right.
directional. I mean, it's, I don't know how to say it really, but yeah.
I mean, it makes sense to me, and it's funny because when I think for a casual person, when you first see your collection, people might think, oh, that's kind of like a heritage repro
yeah.
thing, but then you kind of look more closely at it,
yeah.
and it's dreamlike in a way. You know, it's moving in another direction.
Yeah, I mean that's just all the fit. You know, like
right.
if we tailored the exact same jackets and trousers, then we could fit on like. A Tellison stand or something, but it's in the fit. And the funny thing is, like, outfits are vintage, like actually vintage, and the people that kind of peddle vintage wear always tailor their stuff in because it won't sell otherwise. Like, I was
right.
talking to someone yesterday who has a like a proper like vintage style LVC type brand, and he's like, yeah, we tailor everything in, like,
because that's what everybody wants.
Yeah, he's like, well, this is a duck hunting vest, but no one will wear it the way it is because it's too boxy, so we tailor it in. So it's a bit false, like some of these heritage brands, it's a bit of a false thing, but yeah.
So are you guys trying to resist that, or you guys feel there's a lot of pressure for you guys to, you know, oh, well, it would be better if it were more slim and...
Yeah, no. We're just doing what we're making stuff that we would want to wear,
yeah.
so we wouldn't dress that way now. I mean, in the future maybe, but I don't know. I mean, there's almost no point in this, that many people doing it
right.
as well, and yeah.
There's a special pair of pants called the Bella pants.
Yeah,
Bella. Tell us about, so Bella is one of the users on Care Tags. Is a pretty, I would say, power user.
Yeah, he's power
he's
user.
One of the godfathers of Care Tags. So tell
yeah.
us about that pant and how that kind of came about.
Well, it's Bella trouser because we're British, and he turned me onto a pair of like a Swedish suit, like
mm-hmm.
a
yeah.
engineer's suit. That it was really, really cool. It had these straight, long, wide trousers. It was a really great fit, so we took that as inspiration for these. And it just seemed fitting to like pay him homage
right.
with a name. And also, it's a great name. Like, it really just like
it really
rolls
does make sense.
Yeah,
yeah, it's,
yeah.
it's perfect. Maybe he should start a brand too.
Yeah,
you know?
He should.
So you guys are, so this is the last day of Liberty Fairs, and then you guys are here for a couple days just kind of enjoying the city, and then where are you guys headed off to next?
After New York, we are going to Copenhagen, and we, in Copenhagen, here we've got a stand where we show the clothes, but in Copenhagen, it's a similar setup, except that we also are going to have people making the clothes live.
Oh, wow.
For buyers to see and press, and it's just a bit more of a fun show. So there's a couple of people from Care Tags who are coming to help out the show.
That's great.
Plus, a watercolorist who is Katie's mum, who's going to be painting there too. And I'm giving a talk as well at the show. So it's just a bit of a more, I don't know, more insider access type
right,
thing.
Right, right. What's
yeah.
the talk going to be about?
My talk's about how brands can create positive products. So they can create products that kind of positively affect the earth, the wearer, the person who made it, really trying to push that kind of, trying to help other brands, really, like,
yeah.
because people talk about sustainability all the time, but it's just so passe, but how you need to really reframe that so people understand it, like, make a great product that's also positive.
Right. So, do you guys have, I know you're just starting to show this season, and that's already next year. Do you guys have any idea about the following spring summer?
Yeah, we like in terms of how it looks, it's ready. Like spring
okay.
summer spring summer 17, it's pretty much outlined. The next step is for us to go and start some of the fabrics. A lot of the fabrics have already started because it takes so long.
Right.
Fabrics from this collection we started making like last year, just for the sample. So we were still keeping that, you know. To my chagrin, like, we still have this super slow made process, but yeah, SS 17, we are gosh, it's subject to change, but this one was about trekking. The next one's probably about pickling.
About what?
Pickling.
Pickling.
Yeah.
Like going, getting vegetables and putting it into a jar.
It'll be more clear, but like people who pickle, like putting things away for winter.
Yeah. I was telling you earlier that what I like about this is that it's sort of, you know, there's a lot of repro that's military,
yeah,
right? And you guys are kind of doing this thing where it's like repro for peace, like a peacetime repro thing.
Yeah. We're trying to do that. Like, war's ugly, but on the other side, vintage military is so fucking cool.
Yeah, it is cool. It's like super functional, you know?
It's like, I mean, I feel the same way about coming to America. Like, America's awesome, but they bomb the shit out of my country. It's like, it's that kind of dichotomy that I have to, like, get over. But
sorry about that.
So we're trying to do that. Well, we are peaceful, we're vegan, we're trying to...
Right.
We're trying to be nice. Be nice, I guess.
Be nice, that's nice. That could be another season, too. All right, well, thank you very much for talking to us, and good luck with everything, and we'll see you soon.
Yep.